James 1, let me read from verse 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wednesday evening, a few of us were at a prayer meeting for our region with Elim. Thank you to those of you who came. But at it, we were praying for various churches, and at one point I was asked, what's happening in the life of your church? And lots of people had spoken with much excitement about what God was doing in their church. And my response was, I guess we're in a season of enduring. I guess we're in a season of enduring. Because the reality is, as I look out across the room, I know something of some of your stories. And most of your life doesn't look like you'd want it to right now. Stuff's going on. Challenges are confronting you. Life's reasonably difficult at times. In all sorts of different ways, with all sorts of different kinds of circumstances. And we're trying to walk through that faithfully. And James writes to a group of people, the early church, being persecuted, introduces himself, writes the word greetings, and then tells them to consider it pure joy whenever they face trials of many kind, because they know the testing of their faith produces perseverance. I would have rather got a letter from Paul. I would have much rather got a letter from Paul. You know them lovely prayers Paul puts at the start of his letter? Since we heard about you, we haven't stopped praying for you. That type of thing. James, greetings. Be joyful when it's bad. Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you, sir. But the reality is, we have to live with the expectation that sometimes it will be bad. It's not consider it joy if you ever face trials. It's whenever they come. Because that's the reality of life. It's the promise of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble. And the sentence is a weird one. Because it's consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The production of perseverance in and of itself does not seem like a reason to be joyful to me. Maybe it's just me. But the fact that trials produce perseverance does not give me a reason to celebrate in them. Because if I don't have to have perseverance, I'm okay. I'll live without it. If I get everything now and I never have to persevere, that seems like quite a good life to me, to be honest. The absence of perseverance in my life doesn't seem like a problem if I don't need it. Consider it joy whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That doesn't seem in and of itself like a reason to consider it to be joy. But the next, The next verse is staggering to me. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance has its own work in your life. Let perseverance finish its work. There's a danger sometimes, at least I find myself in danger sometimes, of thinking the only times I grow spiritually is when it's an intent of my discipline. That the only things that see me grow with God are when I make a decision about something. So if I discipline myself to do something, if I read the word regularly, I expect growth. If I turn up the church regularly and hear God's word, I expect, but I expect all of my growth comes from my action. I actually expect all of my growth comes from my action sometimes. And while you're trying to perseverance working is working in you to fulfill its purpose. While you're trying to persevere, perseverance is working in you to fulfill its purpose. Because it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. It's what Philippians 2:13 says. It's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. And I have to recognize sometimes I'm not growing just because I chose to, but I'm growing because he who began a good work in me is seeing it through to completion. And the seasons of perseverance, I have to allow them to finish its work. I have to let them. Because perhaps most common is the reality that we don't like perseverance. I don't persevere through things I enjoy. I don't endure the things I enjoy. There are some meals I have sat down to eat, and I have had to persevere to get through them. I have had to persevere. Remember very excitedly someone invited me round because they were cooking dinner for the first time. And they decided to make lasagna. But they freestyled it. So what I ended up with was mincemeat with crunchy pasta sheets and American slices of cheese. I ate every bite, but I persevered. I persevered. It was hard work. You ever leave a meal where your jaw is sore? Like it's just been tough. I don't expect when I sit down to eat meals I enjoy to persevere through them. Because I enjoy them. And I find myself in seasons of life where I need to persevere, and immediately I'm looking for a way out. Immediately I'm looking for a way out. I am rending the heavens to ask God to move, to act, to do something, to change the circumstances, to transform my situation. Because I don't want to persevere. I'm wondering whether I can do things differently, whether things should look differently, whether maybe if I made some different decisions, I could be in a different circumstance. And actually, that might change what's going on. Because actually, I'm not fussed on the perseverance thing of this. If I don't have to endure something, I won't. If I didn't feel like it'd have been really rude to go, that lasagna's vile, I probably would have said it. And I have no question that for those of us who love God this morning, who are saved, who are committed to our Lord and Savior, that if I asked you, do you want to be mature and complete, not lacking anything in your faith, you would say yes. Yes. Mature, complete, and not lacking anything, that sounds like a good plan. Apparently you need to allow perseverance to do its work then. You need to allow perseverance to do its work. You need to stop getting in the way. Not every circumstance I face that doesn't seem brilliant is something I meant to fight away. Paul says this really interesting thing in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of the surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults, in hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Three times he's pleaded with God. This isn't right. It's a messenger of Satan tormenting him. That's how he describes it. That's not something you want to be part and parcel of your life, is it? That's not the promise we sell people on in the gospel. Get saved. I don't know, you might end up with a messenger of Satan that torments you to stop you from being conceited. And having pleaded 3 times, God says no. God says no. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Because this seemingly not brilliant thing, what's it doing? Preventing Paul from becoming conceited? Stopping pride from taking over? It's stopping him from thinking he's something exceptional. It's actually preventing him from losing sight of who he is. the surpassingly great revelations that he has. Yeah, but you've got this messenger of Satan tormenting you. It keeps him grounded, level. And it doesn't seem that brilliant. And it doesn't even seem right, does it? But God's allowed it. I love Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Where's he leading me sometimes? Through the darkest valleys. Through the most challenging seasons of life. I don't fancy that. I'm not much fussed on that. I quite like the green fields and the still waters. Let's stay there. Let's stay there. But the darkest valley, in the times where I have to persevere, it's doing something in me to lead me to a place where I'm mature, complete, and not lacking anything. So Paul writes in Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. And be constant in prayer. Be patient in tribulation. How do you let perseverance finish its work? You be patient in tribulation. I want to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And lean not on my understanding. And acknowledge him in all of my ways. And the reality is, in order to acknowledge him in all of my ways, sometimes I have to accept he's leading me through the darkest valleys. The trials of life are meant to count as joy because it produces perseverance in me. And if I let perseverance do its work, I'll get to a place of maturity where I'm complete and not lacking anything. Mature, complete, and not lacking anything. Actually, God might be in this to bring me to a place of maturity where I'm complete and not lacking anything. Actually, God might be doing something right now in the challenges of my life so that I persevere, so I'm mature, complete, and not lacking anything. Because he who began a good work is seeing it through to completion. He is seeing it through to completion. He's doing it now. He's in the midst of it right now. And so I get to a place where I go, God, whatever you're doing, I'm all right with it. God, you're bringing me to completion, and so I'm going to consider it a joy that you're at work in my life, that you're moving in my circumstance, that you haven't abandoned me, neglected me, or forsaken me, that you didn't give up when I failed, that you didn't call it quits when I got it wrong again. But actually, you're finishing your work, and sometimes you finishing your work means I walk through times of persevering. That's something to celebrate. That's something to rejoice in. And rather than whinging about my circumstances and letting it, trying to find a way out, trying to excuse myself from things, trying to explain why it's not all okay and God needs to do something, maybe I need to let perseverance finish its work. Maybe I just need to let it do its thing. Maybe I need to walk the process out sometimes. Because I want to get to a place where I'm mature and complete, not lacking anything. But I can't do that if I keep fighting the purpose of God in my life. Time's gone. Let me read Romans 5 and verse 3. It says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. I want this to be a hope-filled people. I talked to you about it at the back end of last year, a little bit. I want this to be a people filled with joy and peace so that we might overflow with hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want that for us. But the root to that is apparently through suffering. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Hope-filled people have been through some stuff. And they've built character through it because they persevered. It's not because everything was brilliant all of the time that we go, you know what, God's going to do something in this and we're going to see him move. It's because things went really, really bad sometimes and God was still faithful. And so my prayer for you, that you'd be like Jesus in the garden. That's what Matthew 26 and verse 38 says. He said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. May your will be done. It's not wrong to long for your circumstances to be different. It's not wrong to long that change might happen. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from my mouth. Yet. Not my will. Not my will, but yours. God, if it could be different in any way. It's fascinating to me. It is one of the most fascinating passages of Scripture to me. I have no idea why the Gospels record it. Because if I was a Christian trying to prove the existence of Jesus as the Son of God, I would not record this weak moment. If I was Matthew writing my Gospel, trying to demonstrate this is the Son of God who's come to save humanity, him crying in a garden asking for things to be different doesn't seem like a great place to prove that from. But the Holy Spirit thought it mattered that you knew. That there were seasons of his life, that there's a moment where he's confronted with the cross, with all of its challenge, horror, and shame. And his prayer is, I'd love this to be different. If there's any other way, I don't want to drink this cup. If it could be different in any way, I'd really prefer that. But God, you do what you need to do. And if it's not possible, may your will be done. So we're going to break bread together. And proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. But I'm going to suggest it might be a good time for you to have that conversation with God. God, if there's any way that this could be different, I'd really like that. I'd really prefer that. But may your will be done. And if perseverance needs to finish its work in me, so that I can be mature and complete, not lacking anything, I'm going to walk that journey. Because I want your will to be done. Let's eat and drink together as we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.